Morning, everyone. So we're reading Ephesians 3, chapter 14 to 21, a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Natasha. Okay. Most of us will, if we look back in our life or at some point, we'll notice that know a time when we felt like there weren't enough finances, went through a difficult time. There didn't seem to be enough. Maybe through unemployment, through just our family wasn't in a great situation, a business went bad, or just what seems to be bad luck, we found it hard to meet our needs. For some, that's never been the case, thank God, but for many, that's the case. This is a guy who found it difficult to meet his family needs. He had a relatively successful store, but he always wanted to be a rancher. He wanted to run a farm with cattle. And so he had this desire, and finally the time came for him to have an opportunity to purchase 16,500 acres. It was in Texas somewhere. And he struggled with this. All his friends said, don't do it, you're not going to make money. But he wanted to be a rancher, so he said, yep, I'm going to do it. The land was unfenced, prone to drought. There was little water on the property, of poor quality. And so it came to the 1920s. He was struggling to pay his bills, struggling to look after his family, and everyone thought, just cut your losses and get out. He was living on government subsidies because there just wasn't enough. He looked over his property day after day, and he go, how am I ever going to make ends meet? He felt poor, and he was confronted with this reality every day trying to look after his family. October 1926 comes around. An oil company sent a crew onto his property and said, we want to drill for oil. He agreed. The first well, they put it down, 80,000 barrels a day from that well. And many wells were drilled after that, which some of which were more than double that in capacity. He owned it all. He felt poor, but underneath his feet was this unimaginable source of wealth, despite living on government subsidy. With the price of oil now at around $70 a barrel, from that property, $70 billion has come out of that property in the last 100 years. And they reckon there's still at least that much to go. He didn't realize just below his feet there was this unimaginable vast store of wealth. As we read through the book of Ephesians, we have heard that believers in Christ have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have the grace of God lavished upon us. We have an inheritance predestined to be for the praise of his glory. We have the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We've been given access by one Spirit to the Father. We have the unsearchable riches of Christ. All of these things given to us in Christ, so that we can be filled to all the fullness of God, we read. God has provided a vast amount of blessings for us as believers. There's a whole oil field just under the surface. But I wonder if we feel like Ira Yates. We don't experience the blessing. We don't feel like it's there for us. We're not fully aware. We scrape by, even though just below the surface there is unimaginable wealth for us. Now, Paul writes to the Ephesians not about financial wealth, but spiritual resource and provision that God has given us in Christ. We possess far more than we can ask or imagine. So today's passage is a prayer, and it's the prayer that's going to say, we need the power to grasp it. We need the ability to understand everything that God has given to us. Because if we start to grasp it, then we'll realize that everything has been provided for us, even to the fullness of God. So let's have a look. Here's the part of the reading. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Chapter 2 and 3, Paul's been talking about the Jews and the Gentiles coming together. These different families were separate all through history since Abram. God was doing a special thing in the Jewish nation. It seemed like the Gentiles were left out, but in Christ, God brings them together and reconciles them both to God through the cross. Every family, the Jews, the Gentiles, and every other nation, this is Paul's extending it out to all nations, included. Every family derives its name from God. Who gets to name the child? It's the parents. And you start off with the name your parents. You might change it to whatever you want. But at least you start off with this name because the parents name the children. Every family in heaven and earth derives its name from God. He's the one who has the right to name us and the nations. So into this separation of Jew and Gentile, Paul says, no, they're brought together. They've been made one in Christ. Now members of the same family, having been reconciled to God and therefore reconciled to one another. Every family in heaven and earth derives its name from him. One day, Ephesians 1 tells us that every nation, it will all be headed up in Christ. All things are headed up in him. And you think all things will bow the knee. Paul's kneeling and he anticipates one day all of creation will kneel before Jesus. And you think, bowing the knee, doesn't that sound like oppression? Doesn't it sound like colonialism? We're going to make this culture bow the knee to our culture. That's what's happened. The colonial enterprise has been an oppressive enterprise. How can we say bow the knee in a post-colonial world? And I say, absolutely, it's not appropriate, except in the case of Jesus. To bow the knee to him, it's different because he offers everything to us. He's already laid down his life for us. This is not a power grab. He's accepted death on our behalf. There's no oppression in him. He's the one that gives up everything to serve. In Philippians, it talks about he gives up heaven, takes upon himself the nature of a servant, even to a cross, and is put to death. And it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. We bow to him. He's the one who's worthy of that. He's not coming to oppress us. He's coming to liberate us through his love and his sacrifice. God raises him from the dead and vindicates his mission. He's the one. He's done what I've called him to do. Every knee will bow to him. That's the vision of Ephesians. All things headed up in Christ, all things under his authority. That's the plan. In the book of Revelation, we see the vision of all nations around the throne, people from every tribe and nation, worshipping the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God. They're all joined together under the lordship of Jesus. That's the plan. That's the vision. It includes all people and all ethnic groups. Let's look at the next part. I pray that, he starts the prayer, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. God has glorious riches, unimaginable wealth. And I'm not talking, he has the financial wealth, but we're talking about the spiritual blessings. There's a whole oil field available far beyond what we can imagine. But do we grasp it? And so Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All of those riches provided for us in Christ, made real to us by the Holy Spirit. That's God's blessing for us. The greatest gift is God himself. In the garden, he walked with the people. We lost that. In the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle and people could sort of come on a kind of temporary basis. And then Jesus came, and it was God himself in a human being, his presence with us. And then Jesus was going to leave. He said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send the Spirit. So now the Spirit in us is the presence of God for us to deliver to us all of these riches, the knowledge of all that God has for us in our inner being, to dwell in our hearts through faith. To dwell means to make a home. He's going to come and make a home, not a temporary resident, to set up shop in us. Theologically, we know that's true. We believe this theologically, but I think Paul's talking about more than theology. He's talking about experience, that we would experience this love of God that God has placed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that Christ would live in us and that we would be aware of that through the Holy Spirit, that we would understand and comprehend and experience that. To know and experience which is ours theologically, that this great blessing in Christ now is delivered to us experientially by the Holy Spirit. A deeper experience of God. Paul's praying that they would come into this. This is something they're going to appropriate. God has given it to us to appropriate it. The reality of Christ dwelling in us. That we might, like Ira Yates, we're living on this vast oil field and we perhaps feel like it's God's not there for us. There's nothing for us. Just below the surface, unimaginable riches. Let's read on. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So he talks about being rooted and established. That's the stuff under the surface. A tree puts down roots. A building's foundation are under the surface. So here's a picture. Being rooted and established in love. On the left, that's a picture from Papua New Guinea. Lots of trees on the river. When the river floods, it often washes away the soil. And you see, down below the surface, there was this vast network of roots pulling up the nutrients, pulling up the moisture. That was the key to the tree's fruitfulness. It was under the surface. It was the secret place. You know, the Bible talks about the secret place. Jesus talks about going to your room, going to your private place, and putting down roots into the love of God. The establishment, the foundation one, that's the foundations of a building. This is a modern building. They drill down into the bedrock to hold this thing secure. In Jesus' time, they would lay foundation stones to orient the whole building around the right way, to keep it secure, to build your house on the rock. Both are about what is underneath, what is below the surface. That's what sustains the rest of our lives. The roots, the foundations. Paul uses his images to talk about the love of God. Putting down roots into the love of God. Rooted and established in love. That the base load down there at the base level is the love of God. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. For us in Christ. God has already expressed that for us. Like an oil field. Unimaginable wealth. But you had to drill. They had to drill into this oil field in order to access the wealth. And Paul's saying, being rooted, putting our roots deep into God's love, that establishes our hearts, having our foundations on the rock, that's what we build our life upon, on the love of God. And I think what happens is we go through experiences in life where we start to doubt. Things are not going well. Finances are not great. We have difficulty in relationships and we start to think, maybe God is not for us. Maybe his love theoretically is true, but I'm not experiencing it, and so maybe it's not there for me. But people sing about this love in every generation. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? How deep the Father's love for us. Reckless love. It's been sung about in every generation where people have said, there's something God has for us that's worth singing about. Paul doesn't pray and say, I wish that God would give you more love, or that God would make you more lovable. That's not what it's about. God has already expressed this love. God is love and has expressed the love. What he's praying for is that we would have the ability to comprehend it, to understand it, to begin to realize that it's what God has for us. It's already there. The oil was there long before Ira Yates put the drill down, but he had to realize it. And I think that's what Paul is praying for, that we would comprehend, together with all the saints, this love that God has given us, to know that love. Let's read on. Oh, we're going back. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, when we're putting our roots down and being established, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, to comprehend how wide and long and high and deep he's stretching forth in every direction. It's unbounded, this love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's greater than we can ever imagine, but we're going to get to know it. It's like something we can grow into for eternity, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, back in the first century, they started to wrestle with this idea of fullness. In the Gnostic thought, God was so high above us, we could never reach him. We were down here on earth, and God was up there, and there was no way that this gap could be bridged. And the Gnostics said, well, maybe there's a series of beings that God relates to these beings, and finally it comes down to human beings. But you have to go through this hierarchy of beings in order to get to God, because the distance is so great. And Paul says, the fullness of God has come to us in Christ. That gap has been completely bridged. God has become human and lived among us. So we can, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Everything that separates heaven from earth, the love of God bridges that gap in Christ. God never leaves us. His love never changes. It doesn't go away when we feel bad. You know, when the clouds are there, today the sun is shining. Believe it or not, it's shining just as strong as it ever does. But there are all these barriers, clouds and rain. We have to believe the sun is still shining. That's true of God's love. It is constant and always there. The blessing of God, the grace he has for us, is always there. If we're secure in that, we can find security in all sorts of things in life, but it will always fail us. The only thing that's completely secure is the character of God, and out of the character of God comes the love of God for us. That is our foundation. Psalm 1 in the Old Testament, it says, a person who delights in God, it says they'll be like a tree planted by streams of water. So they put the roots down, and there's always moisture in that place. It gets dry, the winds come, the rains come, everything, the sun beats down, that tree has its roots in the water. The leaf does not wither, it bears fruit in season, it prospers in all of its life. And so Paul's praying, we'll have our roots down. Still sunshine. Above it. God's love is like the oil field. It's there, even if we don't know it's there. And what Paul's praying for is that we will have this realization, a growing realization and a growing experience, that it is there even when life seems difficult. But we have to pull down the roots, put down the roots. Here's a photo. I wonder, can you make out what this is? Anyone know what that might be? What's that? Yeah, that's the land. That's 100 years after they found the oil in 1926. It's 100 years next year. That's what it looks like today. They've been drilling 100 years. And so you drill one spot and the oil gushes out and then it starts to slow and they say, we're not getting enough. So they drill again and they find another spot, and they've been doing this again and again into this vast oil field, the Yates Field. 1 billion barrels have come out so far. They reckon there's 1 billion more to go. Now, I think this is what Paul is talking to us about. There is this vast oil field. You could not imagine how great it is. But we need to put down roots, get our foundations in that, to know it by experience. Then when we feel threatened or alone or poor or whatever it is, we still have this foundation in our lives. Our future is secure. God is there for us. Just below the surface or just above the clouds, it's constant, waiting for us to tap into it. You know, no matter how hard we pray, no matter how regularly we pray, God is not going to love us more. Our prayer does not change the love of God for us. The prayer for Paul is that we would drill down and we would understand and experience what God has already given us in Christ, his incredible grace and love. With all God's people, how vast is this reservoir that God has for us, waiting for us to drill, baby drill. So whatever it feels like, whatever the lack of encouragement is, when we feel alone, when life is hard, think about this. I wonder if we think back on our life, it actually works like this. We go through some difficulties, we feel lack, and so it causes us to put down roots and to drill. We experience the grace of God. That becomes a testimony. That becomes a story in our life where we can say, God was faithful. And then what happens? We kind of drift a bit and we experience some more difficulty, and then we say, we need to drill again. And so we drill. We start to appreciate God's love more. And our lives end up like this. These are the stories and the situations we've been through where we've drawn upon the love and grace of God, and we can tell a story of how faithful he was. The Bible is full. That's what the Bible is. People going through difficult things, experiencing the grace and mercy of God as they do that. Remember the oil field, when it seems as if God is not present, when his love doesn't seem accessible, it's there for us. There will be wells in your life, situations where you have experienced God's grace. Whatever the struggle now, remember those wells, and remember they lead to the reservoir. It's the footprint poem, isn't it? The footprints poem said, Jesus, you promised you'd be with me all through life, and there's two sets of footprints on the sand, and then there's a time where it was difficult and there's only one set of footprints, and the person says, how could you leave me when times got tough? And Jesus replies, I was carrying you at that time. Paul ends the prayer. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How much can God do? More than we ask or imagine. It's beyond our minds to even comprehend. But it's Paul's praying that we would come into a grasp, a comprehension of what God has done for us in Christ, the spiritual riches he's provided. As always in Ephesians and elsewhere, glory is to God. Through all generations, this is available for all people of all time. These things will be talked about forever. We've struggled, we continue to struggle, but God in Christ has provided all we need, and the Spirit makes it real to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the provision. Long ago, the provision was made that Jesus would come, that he would reveal the amazing grace and love of God, that he would give of himself for us because of your love. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us with that type of a love. Thank you, Lord, we have access by the Spirit into the presence of God, into the grace that you've given for us in Christ. Lord, may this be ours in experience. We know theologically it's true that your love is great, especially when we're struggling, Lord. I pray that we would know that by experience, that the wells we dig will be deep, that the roots we put down will be able to draw the experience of God's love and grace in our lives. Remind us of this, Lord, day after day. Even when it rains, the sun shines. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name.